I don't know if you can tell, but tonight I'm excited. You probably can't tell. I'm excited! Let me tell you why. Of course, I'm excited first and foremost because Christ is my living water. And what a Christ have I. Secondly, I'm excited to have escaped Los Angeles. I live in Los Angeles. It's a wonderful thing to escape Los Angeles. Escape the hustle and bustle, escape the daily grind, and to come away. Maybe you've escaped Riverside, San Fernando Valley. We made it!
Amen.
We escaped! And we're here on a mountain. I know that this fall, we're obviously not in Big Bear Mountain. But I've been told that we're about 5,000 feet above sea level. So for all intents and purposes, we are on a mountain tonight. And of course, I think we know the Lord Jesus, when he had something special and particular to speak to his disciples, he often would not do that by the seashore on the ground level, but he would take his disciples away to a mountain. We're on a mountain where the atmosphere is clear. We need a clear atmosphere. Another reason I'm excited is when I was 12 years old, I was sitting right there, okay, right about there. And the whole room was arranged in this direction. I was 12 years old and I was with some friends, some classmates, and we heard something about the Lord. We were under some hearing of faith. And at a certain point in time, I stood up and I received the Lord.
Amen.
I received the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And my life, of course, was never the same. Did anyone else in this room receive the Lord on this camp? I'm just curious. Wow. Okay. So we have some eternal memories. I just pray even this weekend at this conference. Of course, I think everyone in this room, hopefully, has received the Lord initially. But I just hope that in the same way, something awesome, something of an eternal memory could take place right here.
Amen.
This weekend.
Right.
You know, when something happens like that, you can't forget it. That's what an eternal memory is. Just very quickly, too, some of the brothers that are speaking these messages, we're just looking to the Lord and looking to the Word that something could be ministered, something rich and something wonderful. But I have to be honest with you that a lot depends upon you. Okay, a lot depends upon you. How about you pat your neighbor on the back, tell them, congratulations, you got your body here. Okay? You know, throughout the next half hour, some will be trickling in. The traffic is terrible. We made it. We got our body here. But I also want you to bring your eyes, to bring your ears. And what about what the Bible calls the eyes of the heart? What about the heart? Even right now, if there's anything... Anything between you and the Lord.
Amen.
Might be something small. Might just be the preoccupation with the class. And I just give you this suggestion. Even right now, as I'm speaking this short intro, why don't you pray silently? Lord, I turn my heart to you.
Amen.
Lord, I'm turning my heart to you. Lord, help me turn all the way to you. Lord, I'm dropping every preoccupation.
Amen.
Lord, I don't want to miss your speaking in this conference.
Amen.
It's be a wonderful thing. Okay, so we're here. I ask this, what are we doing here? Okay, what are we doing here? How about, as a good starting point, let's read the title of the conference.
Yeah.
Okay? It's on the front there, the words. Ready? Go!
The four wonderful steps of Christ.
One more time.
The four wonderful
Okay. It's got the word wonderful in it. This is going to be a wonderful conference. Okay? But I'll give you a little preview. The four wonderful steps that we're going to take a look at are Christ incarnation. Say that with me. Christ crucifixion. Can you say that? Resurrection. And ascension. Okay, you might not be this bold, Matt Koo, but maybe in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I know the incarnation. Jesus was born. I know the crucifixion. Christ died. I know the resurrection. Christ rose. I know the ascension. Christ rose higher. Well, these are indeed historical facts that I would say some Christians have given their entire lives poring over historical details, archaeological finds, oral history and tradition. And they've given their entire lives to prove that indeed these historical facts took place. And I would never minimize that. But tonight and throughout the weekend, I'd just like to say, what are we doing here? We're not quite doing that. We have another approach. You know what this approach is? First of all, if it's written in the Bible that it took place, we say, amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to say a historical fact, and I want you to say, amen. Okay? God was incarnated to be the man, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ was crucified on the cross.
Amen.
Christ resurrected from the dead.
Amen.
Christ ascended to the highest.
Amen.
Okay, good. We're standing upon the truth in the Bible. This is what we have. We amen the Word of God. What are we doing here this weekend? Not only do we amen these historical facts took place, but we're going on, we're pressing on. I hope you could pick this up. We like to see the intrinsic significance of Christ's incarnation, Christ's crucifixion, Christ's resurrection, and Christ's ascension. We're here to pick up the intrinsic significance of these four wonderful steps of Christ. And in a simple way, what this means is that these historical facts are very much applicable to our Christian life today. And pick this up as well. Through these four wonderful steps, God's eternal purpose is fulfilled. Can you give me a wow? Okay. God's eternal purpose is fulfilled. Wow. Okay. Well, this takes us to Roman numeral 1. Can we read that all together? Okay, a little stronger, a little more in unison.
God has eternal purpose.
This is awesome. Okay, very quickly, in Exodus 3:14, God spoke something to Moses, and he said, I am who I am. Okay? Brothers and sisters, I'm going to say something very simple. God is. You got that? God is. God is the I am. This means that He is the self-existing and He's the ever-existing one. And in John 8, actually the Lord said, unless you believe that I am, you will perish in your sins. This is the unique sin of unbelief. Tonight, we're not like that. We're here exercising to believe that God is.
Amen.
Say that together. God is. Okay, that's good. But as a living and divine being, God not only exists, but He has an eternal purpose. He has a purpose. Have you ever considered that God has a purpose? I consider all the time my purpose. I consider my plans and my goals. You too, right? You want to graduate? You want an occupation? Let's just take a little time this weekend to consider God's purpose. God's eternal purpose. This phrase is in Ephesians 3:11. Okay. Let's read A together. The Bible reveals to us okay. Ephesians 3:11, the key phrase, God has an eternal purpose. Ephesians 1:9, the key phrase, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure. So the phrase, His will according to His good pleasure. Okay, just pay attention here a second. There is something called a good pleasure in God that is a particular delight. Grant, is there something that makes you really happy? Just something in life. Okay. To me, playing basketball makes me happy. It's a particular delight I have. There is something in God that makes Him particularly happy. And there is something called His will, which is according to this good pleasure. Okay. So out from His good pleasure, He has a will. Just want to add in a quick verse here. It's not in your outline. You can jot it down. Revelation 4:11. If I asked you, well, I won't ask you this question. Sorry. This verse reads, I'll read it to you. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, for you have created all things, and because of your will, they were and were created. Amen. Because of the will of God, everything was created. Why was everything created, including the heavens, the earth, and you and I? According to Revelation 4:11. The will of God.
Amen.
Say that with me. The will of God. So God has a good pleasure. He has a will which is according to that good pleasure. And then He created something. Okay, I just wanted to flip this around. I believe that to look at what someone creates, a living being, they create something. If you look at that creation, not only does that show and testify that there was some pleasure, some intention behind it, but it even may tell you what that good pleasure is. Does anyone here know Elon Musk? Elon Musk has been called today's Thomas Edison, top inventor, top engineer. Okay, Elon Musk creates super fast electric vehicles with his company Tesla. He also proposed this super fast pod transport system called the Hyperloop. And he helps design super fast rockets, which are reusable with SpaceX. Let me ask you, what do you think Elon Musk's good pleasure is? Going super fast. He likes to go places. I know this is a light example, but I think there's something here. He's even said he wants to live on Mars. This is his desire. So he creates. Now I ask you this. What about God? What does God's creation show forth about His purpose and His good pleasure? Well, real quickly, I'd like to add the second verse here, and I think many of you have heard it before. Genesis 1:26. If you know the first part, can you say it with me? And God said, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. Amen. Okay. Never graduate from Genesis 1:26. You know why? God took His word. He spoke. Light came into being. He stretched forth the heavens. He laid the earth. He populated that earth with vegetation and with animals. And He said five times, He saw that it was good. 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 And on the sixth day, He created man. He didn't create it according to its own kind. He created it in the image of God Himself. And with this inward image, and then somehow, this is miraculous, an outward likeness, according to His own likeness. All right. Elon Musk's creation testify what's in his heart. What does God's creation, His pinnacle of His creation of man, testify about God? God wants to be expressed. God wants to be enlarged in His expression. This is just a delight that's in God. There's just something that makes God very happy when He is expressed and when He is expressed in man. Amen? Okay. Well, I'd just like to say quickly here, that man that was created in the image of God and according to the likeness of God actually was just a shell. How do we see this? We see this because God created a garden, placed this man of His creation in front of the tree of life, the main tree, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If man had taken of the tree of life, he would have lived. He would have expressed the divine attributes through that human virtue image. Somehow God would have been expressed through that man. God would have been so well pleased. But instead, he partook of the other tree. And maybe tomorrow you might hear in the first message a little bit about the consequence of that fall. But I like to paint it in a very simple way. You know what happened when that created man partook of the wrong tree? That humanity made in the image of God was spoiled. And the expression that could have come through that man was very much limited. Just for a second, in your spirit, could you feel a little bit? God had that heart's desire to be expressed. He had a will. He created. And that creation, first creation failed. Not that much expression. Well, we're going to have to skip ahead. That first Adam failed. God Himself had to come as the second man. He came as the second man. And in this second man, where the first man, Adam, failed, Christ succeeded. Amen. Christ succeeded. Christ succeeded. Amen. I'd like now alternating brothers and sisters. How about brothers read B, sisters C, brothers D, and sisters E. Okay, brothers on B. Amen. So these points that we've read rather quickly actually point to Roman numeral 2, Roman numeral 3, and actually the forthcoming messages. So for now, just want these points to echo a little later. This speaks ahead to Christ as the fulfillment of God's purpose. You know, don't be too worried. Don't be frightened that God's purpose will not be fulfilled. Don't be frightened that in yourself you feel the weight that I could never fulfill God's purpose. Actually, the Greek word Christ means the anointed one. You know what that means? He's the anointed, the appointed, for the fulfilling of God's purpose.
Amen.
Let's say, praise Christ.
Praise Christ.
He's the one that accomplishes. Amen. Don't be frightened. Christ is the accomplisher. Okay, let's read Roman numeral 2 all together. This word incarnation literally means taking on flesh. And John 1:1, if you know it, can you say it with me all together? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. And how about John 1:14? And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten from full of grace and reality. So the Word was God and the Word became flesh. Very interesting that the Bible speaks that God as the Word became flesh. That word flesh is not all that positive. This really speaks, what a lowering. The Word who was God became flesh and tabernacled among us. What a lowering. You know, what condescension to come to be a man. But what a result. You know, the word indicates the definition, the explanation, and the expression of something. Charles, when I first met him, is very quiet. I didn't know what was in Charles. Charles is a mystery. Sometimes Charles is still a mystery. I'm a mystery. I don't talk that much. But when you have the Word, you have the definition, you have the explanation, you have the expression. For the Word to become flesh means that Jesus Christ, the incarnated God, defined, explained, and expressed God.
Amen.
So awesome. Let's read A together. Christ is God incarnated as a man. Christ is the God-man. If the Word was God and the Word became flesh, that therefore means God became flesh. God became a man. What would you call Him? Could you call Him God? Amen? Could you call Him a man? I'd like to call Him a God-man. Not too much to say this. Okay. B. The incarnation of Christ simply means the mingling of God with humanity. Mingling is much more than mixing together. It's an intrinsic union. If any of you have a Bible, you could quickly turn to Matthew 1:20. If not, no worries. Matthew 1:20, I hope you could just underline it. I'll read it to you now. But while he pondered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife. Now here's the important phrase. For that which has been begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit. Never forget these phrases. That which has been begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit. What's the in her? You have Mary, the human virgin. This is humanity. What's the of the Holy Spirit? You have divinity. That Christ was begotten in her and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let's say that together. In her, of the Holy Spirit.
In her, of the Holy Spirit.
Wonderful. C says, He was a sinless God-man, the complete God and the perfect man, having two natures, the divine nature and the human nature. Although His two natures were mingled to produce a God-man, the individual characteristics of the two natures remain distinct, The two natures did not intermix to form a third nature. All right. It's demo time. We've touched this word mingling in the outline a couple times, but I don't think we've given it too much of an explanation or definition. Mingling is to bring together at least two components. Let me get it right here. Such that the components remain distinguishable, but inseparable in the combination. To bring together such that they remain distinguishable, but inseparable. Inseparable. What do I have here? I have some hot water. It used to be hot. It's kind of hot. I have humanity. What do I have here? Tea. Water, tea. Humanity, divinity. Divinity. I heard someone whisper, it's not working. Mingling always works. Mingling. Some know the song, Mingle, Mingle, Hallelujah. Let's sing just a little bit. Mingle, mingle. To be clear, water is here, yes? Tea is here, yes? Is something third here? No. I would call this tea water. Is humanity here? Yes. Is divinity here? Yes. Is something third nature here? No. Is this wonderful? Yes. Very sweet. Well, I'm running out of time. Maybe just a couple more minutes and Brother Chris will come up. Praise the Lord for the mingling.
Amen.
In that man, that God-man, Jesus Christ, divinity intermingled with humanity such that they were inseparable.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's read D together. When Christ was born as a man, okay. I hope we read, maybe even pray over Isaiah 9:6 later. I'll read it to you again for lack of time. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government is upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful,
Amen.
Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. That child, it was a child begotten in Mary of the Holy Spirit, and it should be called the Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. That's unfathomable. Called the Mighty God. Amazing. And crossing it with Matthew 1:23, the virgin shall be with child, shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Amen.
God with us.
Amen.
Emmanuel.
Amen.
Well, I'll end here with these couple words. You know, around this time, many in the next couple weeks will be celebrating the incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ, yet without fully realizing the intrinsic significance of the incarnation. You know, you are blessed the more you get into these things. Not only was that a Savior born to us, it was. He was a Savior. But you know what else? At long last, after 4,000 years of waiting, remember God's good pleasure? To have something that expresses Him? A duplication? If Adam had taken of that tree, right there in the garden, there would have been a God-man to satisfy God's heart. But he had been waiting 4,000 years right there in the manger. Yes, not only was a Savior born to us, that was the mighty God in humanity. God manifested in the flesh. If you saw even that baby, Chris will get into his human life. You not only saw man, you saw God expressed through humanity.
Amen.
And this fulfilled God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How about we read point E altogether?
Let's read that one more time.
In Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, mingled Himself with man. This is the desire of God for you and me, that He might be mingled with us.
This is the desire of God for you and for me. How about read that with a little more feeling? This is the desire of God.
Amen.
I have more feeling than all of you combined. How about read it one more time?
This is the desire of God for you and me, that He might be mingled with us.
Amen. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
You're touching God's desire tonight.
Amen.
Not in a general way, but in a specific way. It's for you. It's for me. Well, that verse, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit." I think you all know that. And so we had an appreciation. Incarnation began with the birth of the Lord Jesus. What happened there? God got mingled with man. But did you know? Incarnation did not stop. When someone gets saved, when a sinner repents, what happens? God comes in!
Amen.
God gets freshly mingled with man again. So incarnation doesn't occur just so many years ago. When you got saved, when I got saved, incarnation happened again. Amen?
Amen.
If you experienced the incarnation, say amen.
Amen.
Stronger. Amen.
Amen.
Very good. I like it when there's response because that means you care about God's Word.
Amen.
You're here not just to have a good time. You will, surely. But you're here to receive God's fresh speaking.
Amen.
I was recalling when I was in college, I would hear about the college conference. And I was full of anticipation because I was thinking, if I could just get there, I would get God speaking again. In a fresh way. Your professors, every so times a week, I don't like to hear my professor so much. It just kind of kills me sometimes. But when I get to go to that conference, oh, I get enlivened. Get refreshed. God's fresh speaking. Hit it once again. Incarnation is God mingling with man. God coming into man. And this is awesome.
Amen.
This is wonderful.
Amen.
How about say that? This is wonderful.
This is wonderful.
Wonderful. That's why we called it the four wonderful steps of Christ. Well, this is wonderful because in Luke chapter 2, there's the account of the Lord being born. In verse 13, suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army praising God That was the Lord's incarnation. You go to Luke 15, verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, that's actually what it says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner repenting. Is it sinking in? In the Lord's incarnation and birth, there was praise in heavens. When there's one sinner repenting, the same praise! Because God is getting mingled with man! Am I the only one excited about this? How about let's read F. Amen. In Romans 8, 10, it says, but if Christ is in you, is he in you?
Amen.
The body is dead because of sin. The Spirit is life. So the Lord came in. Where did he go? He dwells in our spirit. Which is why, amen, the Word of God is actually a good exercise of your spirit. Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. Well, he's in our spirit, right? Well, the Lord wants more. To be a real Christian. Okay, real. Do you know what that means? It means genuine. It means sincere. Pure. Possessing the claimed or attributed character, quality, or origin. Not counterfeits. To be a real Christian is not so much of the outward things. Now I need to, you know, I need to dress differently. You know, I need to pull my hair to the side. You know, that's what it means to be a real Christian. No, forget about that. To be a real Christian means God got in.
Amen.
And now He's continuing on. How you started, God got in. Amen?
Amen.
How do you continue? Let God in more. But sometimes we have a question and are distracted by our circumstances and situations. Why did God let this happen? Why does God allow this? Or why am I in this situation? Why am I in that situation? Maybe you don't get the class that you need to finish graduating on time. Maybe you're with others that you just don't like how they breathe. They breathe too loudly. You're all arranged in your lodging. Maybe you'll just think, they breathe so heavily. Oh my goodness. Or maybe, as I experienced some weeks ago, your car gets broken into and all they steal is the iPhone charger. An old GPS thing that you don't even use. But they break the window to get just that. Then you wonder, why did that even happen? And when the police arrive, they also ask, why did this even happen? God arranges everything for the maximum mingling.
Amen.
Did you know? To be delivered from your situations is secondary. What is primary? Brought into you.
Amen.
We all touch the purpose of God. God's purpose, His desire, to get expression. But that comes through mingling. Not just to pluck you out of situations. You're having a stressful time. You know what He says? I like to get in there. Let me join you. Let me join you. How about let's read G. We should... Amen. How about let's pray that prayer once more? Lord, reveal to me. Are you touching this a little bit more? Mingling. That's why we say mingle. Hallelujah. Because in Him, in Christ, is the universal mingling of God with man. That's why He is so precious to us. He fulfills that purpose of God? Well, in Roman numeral 3, I'll read it. The second point of the incarnation of Christ is that God is expressed in a man. God is expressed in a man. When God is mingled with man, God can be expressed through man. Do you have any friends that are something, they just spend their whole time in it, that they just express it? Any friends like basketball? Any friends like volleyball? Maybe some friends really like physics. You have too many friends like that, but maybe they like a particular subject in school, like math or science. Everything they say has a science filter on it. You know anyone like that? They express it. They're not even trying. They just express it. Well, the Lord, He's a pretty good pattern, I believe, right? If we're going to follow any pattern of a God-man, I think the Lord Jesus is quite a good one. Well, the Lord, He is the mingling. He just expressed God. He didn't perform. In Matthew chapter 8, what happened? Do you remember? He was on a boat. He was in a boat with the disciples. A storm was brewing. Disciples look at the storm. We're going to die. They look to the Lord, and the Lord calms it down. The disciples' response was, what kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? The Lord was just resting. He was sleeping, actually. Was that pumping yourself up? Oh, I got to get ready to calm the storm. Okay, stop. You know, no, he was sleeping, and they woke him up. Calm down, and then done. No performance. No ramping yourself up something. He just expressed God. So don't try to be different in that kind of a way. Just enjoy Him. Let Him in. Spend time. Let Him speak. I liked the response. I don't know who it is. It's not working. You know why it's not working? You don't spend enough time. You don't spend time. What was the point? We need to spend some time with the Lord. I don't know who it is. Don't need to point it out. But that is the thought of the age. It's not quick enough. Why don't you speed it up? Well, God, because it's a matter of life, it's not that quick. How many of you are under the age of 21? Okay. Did you grow up instantly? Were you born yesterday? And then you just, oh, here I am, college conference. Did you complain? It's not working. No. Don't let that sink into your being. Don't let that it's not working overcome your faith. Spend the time. Amen. Let Him steep. There will spontaneously be a different living and expression. Okay, A. God's plan is to manifest Himself in man and through man. In those verses in 1 Timothy, it speaks of the house of God. It says, confoundedly great is the mystery of godliness. What is that? He who is manifested in the flesh. God was manifested in the flesh. So B, this is the key to the four Gospels. God is expressed in a man. A man who is truly a man. A man who lived a human life on this earth. God. You want to express God? Oh, that was poor. Do you want to express God?
Yes.
Okay, good. I hope so. The key when you read the four Gospels is actually to see that the Lord was man, yet He fully expressed God. You need to see this. This is the key. I had considered for a little bit, why did the Lord spend so much time on the earth living? Couldn't He just incarnate as a 33 and a half year old, go to the cross, die, accomplish redemption? Why are the accounts in the Gospel so long? Just get to the point. Jesus is God, yet He's man. He died on the cross. Bam, done. I share an affinity for the impatient. Just give me as it is. Quickly. Purpose for the Gospels. There was a purpose for the Lord to go through this whole process. See what incarnation looks like. Lived out in a man. So see, in the Gospel of John, we are told that the Lord is the Word of God, that this Word is God Himself, and that one day He became a man. I believe we touched this. Amen? One, the Lord was on acting, living, walking, working, and doing exactly as a man. Those verses are awesome because in John 4, okay, how many of you had some midterms, some projects, some papers? Okay. How many of you are tired? Tired. Maybe your eyes are closed right now, actually. But you're tired. Are you human? Okay, you don't want to know what John 4 says? And the Lord, thus being wearied from the journey, sat down. God got tired? Yeah, He was a man. He really was. 11:35, Jesus wept. Have you ever cried in your life? Oh, you're lying. The Lord wept. Sometimes we think, oh, God is just... And He doesn't know what it's like to be weak. He doesn't know what it's like to be tired because He's God only. But don't forget, He's all man. What was that? That was the divine attributes that was referred to, but expressed in human virtues. You'll see that more. So what did it look like? Heaven. There was a widow. She lost her husband. And now she was going as procession to bury her only son. How did the Lord respond? Did He float in? And say, I will save him. What did He do? Moved with compassion. You've heard of all the stories of what's going on in the world today. Are you not moved with compassion? Or does it not faze you at all what's happening to all the refugees? Paris, all those things. Are you moved with compassion? You could say yes. Okay. Well, the Lord, as a man, was moved with compassion. We'll see the other half of that in two. He was 100% a man. Yet, in this man, in his life, his walk, and his work, God was manifested. So He wasn't just moved with compassion, unable to do anything and say, oh, I feel sorry for you. He went, came near and touched the bier, coffin. And those carrying it stood still. Young man, I say to you, arise. And the young man was risen. And he began to speak. And he gave him to his mother. He gave him to his mother. on the one hand, moved with compassion, humanity. Yet what came out was life-giving. The young man rose. Now, you may think, how does this apply to me? Because when I get moved with compassion, there's no resurrection going on. You have to see the spiritual significance. Maybe someone's having a bad day. They just feel like everything is down. But you get moved with compassion. It looks very human. How are you doing? Are you doing okay? Is everything okay? And life comes forth. Ministers to that brother or sister, and they're no longer spiritually dead. They get brought back into life. And have you ever had experience when someone just spoke to you? They didn't say, you know, some verse reference only. You know, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Amen. And then he's like, oh, thank you. Having a bad day, but not anymore. No. But someone just said, how are you doing, brother? Are you doing okay? You doing okay? Okay. Okay, good. And you just get lifted up somehow. What was that? What kind of man is that? On in Matthew 23, it speaks that his name is Emmanuel, which is called God with us. Well, how about us? The Lord, when you touch Him, you got man plus something. You got man plus God. Do they only get man? Or do they get a God-man? In John 8, there was a woman caught in adultery, in the very act. That's terrible. That's terrible. And they took her and threw her to the floor in a public area and said, Jesus, Moses said, such ones we stone. What do you say? What do you say? What did the Lord do? He just sat down, actually. Did you know that? He just sat down and began writing something on the ground. And they keep on bothering Him. Come on, say something. It says that he who is without sin cast the first stone. Do you know how they responded? This is really awesome. The older ones left first. You know why? They knew they had sin. The younger ones left later because they thought they were okay still. But then they saw the older ones leaving and they're, oh, I guess he had sin to them. And then, here it is. Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. What the Lord does manifested God and what He did. What the Lord didn't do also manifested God, expressed God. It's not just a matter of doing things today. Actually, a lot of times, the Lord is calling us, don't look at that. Don't click on that. And that would express God. But how many times? No raise of hands. Do we just do it? And we realize there is another kind of expression that comes out. How about you? So related to that, there are those portions in John. He said, I live because of the Father. In John 5, the Son can do nothing from Himself. But I think we can all agree the Lord could do a lot of things if He really wanted to. But He chose not to do things based on His own self, but according to the Father. Then He said, the words that I say to you, I do not speak from myself. Well, on the one hand, there's the holding back. But how does that happen? Actually, it's by beholding the Lord, spending time with the Lord. You don't have to do too much. Okay? You'll just express them in a very spontaneous way. Even a good prayer. Lord, is it you? Lord, are you doing this? Are you speaking this? Eventually, even one look from the Lord can cause you to turn. I haven't been married too long, but I can testify. Sometimes, one look from my wife causes me to turn. Really? No, I'm serious. But that didn't happen by my, I don't know, somehow studying books about her. That doesn't work, okay? It didn't happen by my memorizing maybe her pictures. It happened by my spending time. Similarly, you spend time with the Lord, you begin to pick up His feelings. And you know what? Spontaneously, because you love Him, you don't do those things. Okay. E. The Christian life is to have God in Christ as our life and our all, day by day and moment by moment. Amen.
Amen.
Day by day, moment by moment.
And
reject ourselves and take God as our life. Ooh, that sounds kind of strong. Deny yourself, but take God as your life. So we see purpose in the beginning. God has a purpose, and that was for what? Expression. But in the middle of that, there's mingling. There's mingling. Does God's purpose mean something a little more to you tonight?
Amen.
Amen. You want His purpose to be fulfilled?
Amen.
Oh, so weak. Do you want this purpose to be fulfilled?
Amen.
Okay. Well, it's fulfilled by a group of people who express God. And it's fulfilled by what? By how? Mingling. You want the expression? Mingling is the way. I don't know if you noticed, but it's a little darker now, isn't it? Than when it first began? Did this cup of hot water try to get darker? Did it kind of shake and just... No, it didn't do that. It let the tea bag stay. Let the Lord in. Spend time with the Lord. And this is not to expose, okay? I really want you to pick this up. What is our expression? I realize our expression is quite often seen on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat, possibly Vine. If we went and broadcasted your Instagram, your Facebook, your Snapchat, your Vines, could we tell that there was God or something else? Now, don't go back and delete all your pictures from your Instagram. Actually, spend time with the Lord.
Amen.
Stay in the mingling of God and man.
Amen.
Then the expression will change. That's how it was done. You see this? Right? You know, this reminded me of something in the Word in Mark. You might know about a particular woman called Mary. When the Lord was going to the cross to die, they're in the house of Simon the leper. And she had something. This is not it, but she had something. A flask of alabaster. There was pure ointment, pure nard or spikenard in there. But what did she do? She poured all onto him. And then what happens? What happened to the house? Say it. Fragrance filled the house.
Amen.
It smelled.
Amen.
They couldn't see it. But you can smell it. That's expression. How did she attain that? By pouring everything onto the Lord. And I looked into it a little bit. You know, in Mark 14, it says, this could be sold for well over 300 denarii. 300 300 denarii is a good year's pay. One whole year wasted on the Lord, is what the disciples said. It's waste. Well, I did a little research. The average income in Southern California, average, okay, is between $35,000 to $50,000. That's one good year pay. The average college tuition for 4 years. Is it a coincidence? I thought this to be wonderful. She poured out 1 year's worth on the Lord. And that was a wonderful fragrance and expression, mingling God and man. 4 years. Some of you less. But you had at least around 4 years. Honestly, is it not? Tuition is not cheap. Yet you can pour out everything onto the Lord. Love Him. Pour out on Him. Be mingled with Him. Spend time with Him. Then there will be a wonderful expression. A fragrance. They'll see you and say, my classmate. But there's something about you. And I can't put my finger on it. I can't see it. I won't use this terminology. But they can smell it. Give you a quick example and I'll close. At UCLA, a lot of the brothers like to get together Monday nights for dinner. Before dinner, they sing. They like to touch the Lord. Now, it's easy, right? Dinner is just dinner. You just make some food and, you know, maybe buy some frozen dinner or something, pop it into the oven and done, right? Well, but beforehand, they would sing. Why? Because Jesus is getting us together. And they were just there, enjoying the Lord, being mingled with Him. One invited a friend over for dinner. You know, that friend came. He just kind of sat there as they were singing, began to sing. And according to his testimony, he's actually, you know, he meets, and he's a monk actually here tonight. He said, there was a peace that I never experienced, and it came into me. No one told me, hey man, you gotta believe in Jesus. Stop the singing. Let's go preach the gospel at him right now. No. There was a fragrance that filled that room. And he got saved. Isn't that awesome? That happened because there were ones being mingled with God. How about let's all read the focus? Amen. So we saw the pattern of the Lord, and you saw that incarnation is not just a historical event, right? But now it's a relative to you.